Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Chatty Kathy. This is Kathy Prohoff coming to you with a wonderful and very popular topic. I don't know why I say wonderful, but it's a very popular topic in and of itself for everybody that is dealing with this problem that seems to continue to expand over the years. It's our belly fat and why we are not getting the results that we want, especially as we're aging, and 10 tips for you today to help get a handle on it now. Now, you might not even realize that your daily habits, your daily patterns, as well as some common foods that you're eating are making your belly actually seem a lot bigger, feel bigger, look bigger, not being able to zip up your pants as comfortably anymore, having that fluff over your waistbands, which they call the muffin top, which is just such a terrible name to me. But it really does get frustrating, especially if you're somebody who's been doing tons of crunches, maybe running miles, endless miles, to be able to burn off the calories and the fat, or drinking the green shakes, or following every protocol and system that you have heard and seen on the market, from your friends, everywhere and anywhere at any given time. But no matter what, your belly just does not shrink. It just either stays the same or it goes down a little bit, only to become an issue again later. So, and I get it. I understand. I know when we were in our 20s and 30s, obviously our body ran very efficiently because we had youth on our side. As time ticks by, the years go by, unhealthy practices, I mean, let's just be real. We don't treat ourselves with respect all the time. I mean, how often do we truly take care of our bodies 100%? For a lot of us, you know, we get by as well as we can because our body functions. It deals with it. It deals with the after effects. We skimp out on our sleep. We don't choose good foods. We head into the fast food lane. We skip meals. We don't keep up on our water. You know, there's so many issues that plague us. And over the years, it starts to accumulate and breaks down the good effects that we had on our side when we were younger. And even our metabolism is beginning to suffer, our energy levels. And with time and age, yes, we're going to slow down. Our muscle mass is going to decrease, but we can get a handle on it sooner. And these tips will help you with that stubborn midsection fat. Are you ready? Good. Grab a pen and a paper. Unless you're driving, then you're just going to have to memorize these and come back to it later. But here are these 10 steps. And honestly, you won't even realize a lot of these are an issue or can be causing it. And if you're struggling with all of these areas, obviously it's going to be a bigger problem, okay? So the first I want to just touch on first is doing all the crunches, doing all the sit-ups. For many of us, when we wanted, six-pack abs, rock-hard abs, what did we do? We're like, oh, I got to do all the crunches. I got to do all the sit-ups because then I'm going to build the muscle and it's going to look really good. Well, obviously, that doesn't work. And you've probably tried it for longer than you are ready to admit. And what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens because, hey, let's just face it. Number one, we probably have fat sitting over there that's hiding those awesome muscles because, yeah, there are muscles underneath, but they're being hidden. Now, the problem is not that. It's not with the crunches and the sit-ups in terms of like it's not going to give you the rock hard abs because you got that layer of fat. I want to talk about something different that you probably don't even realize because nobody talks about this. It's the fact that when you are doing the crunches and sit-ups, you're doing that same motion, you know, where you're crunching your head and shoulders up and you're squeezing your abs. And what you're doing is usually your feet are on the floor and your knees are bent. And this typical position causes your hip flexors to be stressed and tighter. So, and if you've ever done even, you know, any type of crunch, you'll notice after time that your hip flexors will start to bother you. And you might wonder, why do my hip flexors bother me when I'm doing crunches? Well, the thing about it is that motion, it does tighten the hip flexors. And over time, the problem isn't even just the tighter hip flexors. It's what that causes. It causes a crunched up belly fat look that it's not really the look we're going for. Now, obviously, this cannot be an issue for many, but this is a common problem for people that are on this rampage to get the six-pack abs. And I've heard about it a lot, and then they complain about the hip flexors bugging them. They don't know why their day-to-day movements are bugging them. So instead of doing all the crunches and all the sit-ups, you still want to work your core. And I'll explain what the core means or entails in case you kind of been wondering, well, what is the core exactly? But you want to look towards doing more Pilates-based movements. Think plank, think, you know, different rotations like the Russian twist. Think of lying on your back and doing leg drops, maybe the 100, scissors, different things that really engage the entire core section versus just that lower belly portion where, again, you're stressing out the hip flexors. Now, I do want to stop and just explain what the core is. And it's at the center of your body. Like if you were to break your body into three pieces, I know not really a nice thing to say, but you got the top of your body, you know, your top of your head to your torso, and then you have the middle of the body, and then you have the lower body, which is the legs. So your core section is that midsection. So if you, right now, you could even, you know, try this. Take your hands just underneath your ribs. So wherever your rib cage ends, you just kind of drive your fingers underneath your rib cage. So that's like the beginning of it or the top of it. Imagine if you were to put on a girdle, hey, that would be a look, right? But that's where it would begin. And then you just move your hands down over your midsection to just above or just below your bottom. So where your bottom meets your, you know, your hamstrings, that all the way around, all the way up to the just under the ribs. Imagine a band being wrapped around that middle part of your body so that it engages the front of your abs, includes the front of your abs, the side of your waist, the lower back, your glutes, your booty, the side of your hips, and the front of your hips. So that is all your core. And so, like I said, with Pilates, you're working the entire core section. You also want to get the back. A lot of people just don't think about working their back muscles where, hey, it's part of the body. It's a really important part of the body. So if we have weak back muscles, obviously the abs are going to, you know, they're going to struggle and vice versa. When your abs are weak or protruding too much, you got too much there, your lower back's going to suffer. So looking at Pilates-based movement instead of just a bunch of crunches, all right? And the second thing I want to talk about is maybe you're someone who chews a lot of sugarless chewing gum. Now, I know this can sound stupid and crazy, and you're like, well, what does that have to do with belly fat? Well, it's that bloaty feeling. Now, for a lot of us, we'll chew gum. I know for me, for years, I was addicted to chewing sugarless gum because, number one, my dentist said it was good, you know, chew the sugarless stuff. Number two, it would stop me from snacking in between meals, and it would just make, it would give me something to do, you know, like a mindless thing to do. But over time, what that does is we are constantly chewing and we're bringing in more air into our body, into our tummy. And what that does is it does create a little bit of a distended look or a bloaty look or just kind of more air in your tummy. It's just like inflating your tummy. Over time, that can become a problem. Again, it might be minimal, but if you're wanting to look super shredded in an outfit or on the beach, I'm going to encourage you to stop chewing some sugarless gum beforehand. As crazy as it sounds, it will help. And the second part about this this common issue is the sugarless. The sugarless additives are something your body cannot process or break down. So what that does is it then just sits in your belly. It does cause a little bit more of that, the bloaty look. So two parts there, again, you're getting more air and you're getting in that sugarless, the additives. So just not a good thing if you really want to have that tight top belly, all right? But I mean, it's not the end of the world if you want to chew gum. I'm not saying not to. These are just tips that can help you if you are just kind of at your wit's end. Now, the third thing, which I'm going to actually label it as my most important one, is stress. When we have too much stress in our lives and our bodies, over time, we are increasing more and more, pumping more and more cortisol, which is the stress hormone, into our body, and adrenaline as well. And all of this does is over time, it accumulates more belly fat because it just tells the body to, you know, store more fat in the belly. It's just a reaction, a response to that. Now, if you consider, you know, stress as that hormone, that cortisol is just supposed to pump out and then retreat. It's like this blast of a hormone and it's supposed to, you know, dissipate. So for example, if you are walking through the jungle and you see a tiger, you have that rush of adrenaline and the cortisol shoots out. You have all of a sudden all this energy to go run for your life and save your life and get away from the tiger. Now that's okay in that circumstance, right? But the problem is, which I'm sure you've been listening to this a lot, I talk about this a lot, is when we are sitting in our lives, we're sitting at our desks, we're We're sitting with our problems. We're sitting and we're staring at that tiger, not really a tiger, but the stress of it. And it's just sitting with us. So it becomes chronic stress. So the cortisol is just pumping, pumping, pumping. Our body gets less resistant to be able to handle it. And yes, the stress will accumulate in more tummy fat. Actually, your body will take fat from other parts of your body, as awesome as that is, and store it in your tummy, your belly. Okay. So what do you do? I mean, obviously we have stress. What I will recommend is that you must take action. You must. And I know it's tough. I work with women that are stressed out in our Superstar Elite program. I work with women who are busy, stressed out, dealing with stuff and wondering, why can't I lose this stubborn fat? Yes, we go through the system. We go through the protocols that help your body lose fat. But when stress is not being dealt with, nothing else is going to matter in the long run of it because your body's going to keep accumulating that extra belly fat. So setting aside time for you, starting to say no to things that are overwhelming your schedule. And I'm going to probably suggest that your schedule is pretty overwhelmed. I mean, for many of us these days, we have too much going on. And so the only way we know how to handle it is to just decompress either with food, drinks, binge watching TV, whatever it is that is not healthy for us. It's an overindulgence in a negative way. You can eat food. You can have fun foods. You can have carbs and cake and stuff like that. You can even drink, right? You can even watch TV. These alone in you know, healthy doses are not bad for us. Just like stress, cortisol is not bad for us unless it's being pumped out in unhealthy volume, which these days that's an issue. So look at your stress levels. What can you do and how can you start to take back your life and give yourself some time, quality? Now, this next one lines up a little bit with that same topic of the stress in our lives. And the reason why is because it's actually when we get too little sleep. Because what happens when we have so much in our life? We got things to do. We start to pull that extra time that we need and we start to push off our sleep. Like, I'll just go to bed later. I'll get up a little bit earlier. And so little by little, our sleep time is getting smaller and smaller. And we think, well, I can run on 4 hours of sleep. Don't even worry. I'm good to go. Now, you might think you're good to go, but you're not doing good. Over time, the accumulation, the deprivation, the depleting yourself of your sleep, there's an important reason your body needs to sleep. And sleep is, you know, we can call it sleep, but for many of us, it's just sometimes closing our eyes for a few hours, not being able to go into those deep, deep sleep that our body needs to be able to repair and recover and get us back on track for the next day. So looking at your sleep, how many hours a night per average are you getting? You need to get yourself up to 7 to 8 hours. I know people can get by on less. Trust me, I get it. I hear it all the time. But if you go to talk to any sleep experts, study sleep, why it's important, what's important about it, what are the common issues of people that are dealing with sleep deprivation, you're going to learn that what I'm saying is 100% true. 7 to 8 hours per average is what we all need. Now, give and take, some people need more or less, but that is the average range. So look to getting that closer. And if you're maybe at 4 hours a night right now, just try going to bed a half hour earlier until that gets easier, and then another, until you are extending that hour, that window to about 7 hours or even eight if you can. All right, for me, I know it's always at that point of struggling between 6 to 7. I'm like, I'm right there. But when I get that 7 to 8, oh my gosh, especially on a regular basis, it's like the angels just are singing and the skies open up. Everything's just perfect, or so it seems. So start to look at your sleep, because again, when we don't get enough sleep, what happens? Well, obviously we feel tired. Obviously we don't run as efficiently. Our body doesn't burn as efficiently, but now we got more stress in our bodies. Because there goes the cortisol again. So now not only are we stressed out and we got cortisol pumping all the time because there's tigers in our day all the day long, but now when we're not sleeping enough, more tigers or just more cortisol. All right, so looking at your sleep and working to get more sleep. And the next one is eating too much fiber too soon, right? Like not giving yourself time to get acclimated to it. And a lot of people are like, fiber, fiber's good. Eat all the fiber. And then we're like, oh my gosh, I got so much gas in my tummy. I'm so bloated. Look how huge my tummy is. It's just the extra fiber sitting there. So don't overdo it. Start small, work your way up, and make sure you're drinking your water. Let your body be able to digest it and get that fiber through you. Fiber is good in the long run, yes, but don't just do spurts of lots of fiber and then none. You know, give yourself that balance. Everything's good in balance. And then too much sugar also can be, you know, attributed to that belly bloat. So not just the fiber, but too much sugar. So I would encourage you to start slowly, incorporating a little bit more fiber at a time. Again, listen to your body. You should not feel the big gassy issues. That's a bad sign you're getting too much too soon. So start slower. And then the sugar, eliminate it a little bit at a time until you get to a point where you feel a little bit balanced and your tummy kind of, you know, feels the better effects as well. The next one, being intolerant of gluten. Now, this is a growing issue these days because this is the way our foods are processed and everything's just, you know, changed aside from the natural forms that it used to be, our flours, everything's just all over the place. So it's an issue that is not going anywhere. It's only getting worse. So what I'm going to encourage you to do, if you do find yourself feeling very bloaty, gassy, your stomach is bugging you after you've eaten a meal, look back, did you get a lot of gluten? Maybe you need to rethink your options and, you know, try different alternatives to be able to offset those problems and see where your body likes to be. Maybe it's not gluten, but this is an issue. And again, that'll cause that big belly bloat. And it's an issue because it doesn't feel good. The next one, number 7, is acid reflux. Now, again, just causes that discomfort. If you're discomfort in your belly, if you have a lot of discomfort, that just means something's not in balance. It's not working. So how can you rework it, right? Maybe you cut it out, or maybe you balance it out, or maybe you sub it out. But acid reflux comes from things, certain foods like, say, orange juices or tomato sauces, think acidy foods, fatty meats, things that create that burning sensation. And it's so such a bad sensation, right? It just feels like it's just coming all the way back up into your throat. It's just that burning and your tummy's unhappy, and it will cause the belly bloat. So looking at the foods, maybe rethinking your options, pulling back from the foods that are bugging you, and rebalancing and resetting on your new normals until or if you can get back to adding them a little bit. But again, that acid reflux can be an issue. The next one is constipation. So yes, I know obviously fiber will be a help for this issue, but a lot of people just are dealing with the constipation. And obviously if you're not eliminating out of your intestines, you're going to have extra just sitting in there, and it's going to cause a bloat. It's got to sit somewhere, right? So working on ways to get that to be moving through, drinking your water, getting in, the right amount of nutrition and fiber to be able to work your system so that you are eliminating. And you might need to talk to a doctor if this is going on for a long time, because there could be other things going on. The next one, number 9, is dairy intolerance. So much like gluten, you might just not be able to break down, the dairy, and that's okay. It's not the end of the world. You can find other alternatives. How do you know if this is an issue? Well, after you have something with dairy, does your tummy feel gassy, bloated? You have to go to the restroom. Is it just an issue that continues to, become more problematic every time you have dairy? Either swap out the options. There's a lot of dairy-free alternatives nowadays, so you can go and find things. I would say find things that are more close to natural or as natural and whole as possible, because the more processed it is, the more your body's not going to be able to digest it and process it correctly. So always being mindful of the whole food components and whatever you're choosing. And the last but not least is getting in too much sodium and salt. I know it's very, very easy to do. It's so prevalent in a lot of the packaged foods because it gives us that flavor. And so the marketers are pumping in with sugar and salt and, you know, that fatty flavors. So the salt is a problem, and it will help you hold on to water. I mean, imagine if you spilled water on the ground and you grab a towel and you start mopping up that water. Where's the water going to go? Into the towel. And then now the towel's heavier and it's all soppy into the towel. That's what your body does when you eat a lot of salt and sodium. All the water goes and accumulates into the body, actually retains more water, doesn't eliminate it. So you start to retain it. And so obviously you're going to feel bloaty. It's got to sit somewhere. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it starts to release, you drink your water, you start to pull back, you know, maybe you had too much one night, a Chinese food or whatever, and, you know, holding onto it, let it flush out, and then really look at your amounts of salt that you're getting throughout the day. You don't have to salt all your foods. You know, flavor is there, but it's not just all about salt. Look at other seasonings, herbs, other flavors that you can add to your food, so it's just not about the sodium, because we actually get desensitized to that, and if we have become, you know, we're starting to salt, salt, salt more and more, we start to taste it less. It's kind of like sugar. We get too much of it, we actually expect more of it for the next one because our taste buds tell us, oh, that's not salty or sugary enough. Give me more. So we continue to increase the amount so that we can help our taste buds be happy and satisfied. So starting to eliminate it, pull back, get back to nature, natural flavors, and changing things up, not getting so much of the sugar and the salt. So again, I'm just going to go through these 10 and explain just in quick detail, if you missed any of them or you just wanted to hear it again, go through your list, how to eliminate that belly fat, belly bloat, that just continues to be a problem. Now, number one, doing too many crunches and sit-ups, not incorporating the whole core section and doing more Pilates-based moves and other strength training moves because you are just tightening the hip flexors if you're just doing tons. It's like doing one repetitive motion over and over again. What happens is just going to get, you know, overdone, overwhelmed, overtaxed, and overtrained. So when you overtrain the sit-ups and the abs with crunches, you're tightening your hip flexors. And if you're not releasing that tightness, what happens is it gets a little crunched up motion and actually creates that little look there that we don't love. Chewing sugarless gum, too much of it can create a lot of extra air trapped in our tummy, as well as the sugar-free additives. Our body can't break it down and again, causes a little bit of the bloat. Too much stress in our lives, not taking time to deal with the stress, eliminate stress, and that chronic stress will increase our cortisol levels, which also increases our belly fat. It's just the way our body works. Same thing with too little sleep, not sleeping enough hours because we're trying to get it more done. That also increases the stress cortisol in our body, also increases the belly fat. So it's really important to get the sleep, obviously, to be able to repair your body and get ready for the next day as well. So there's other issues with getting too little sleep, but this is the one we're talking about right now. Eating too much fiber too soon, you know, you're going to get that distended belly look and that gassy feeling, as well as too much sugar, which will cause bloating. Gluten intolerance, if it's something that you are having issues with, look at your options and what you can do instead if it's bugging you after you eat gluten. Same thing with acid reflux. If you're eating foods that cause that acidy burning feeling, you're going to get the tummy distended as well. So I would just encourage you to eliminate those type of foods and find alternatives in the meantime. Constipation, another issue, just it's not being eliminated, so it's sitting there, will cause that bloat. Being intolerant to dairy, again, going to cause the unhappy feelings in your tummy, and it's going to cause that gas and bloating. And then last but not least, too much salt or sodium, which again will retain the water and just have you feeling big and bloated in that area. And so we're really sensitive with our tummy. It's just something that we've been conditioned to look at. You know, we see people with shredded abs being advertised and we think, oh, I need that. And then our bellies, you know, it's very resistant to that because there's so many variables in our life. And living our day-to-day life, we can't always look shredded. Even if we were to get to that point and live, you know, train that, if you know, that effectively and eat to the point that we have the shredded abs, it's very difficult to keep unless we have a very, very low body fat by nature, which it's tougher for women. I'm just going to be real. You can have leaner, very much toned abs throughout the year, but it just is just about being mindful of some of these areas that might be causing you some frustration when it comes to the extra bloating, right? And at the end of it all, if something is not feeling good in your tummy, something's not in balance. So just look at what can I balance to make me feel better, not just for how I look. It's really more important how I feel, right? So my body's not in pain. I'm not feeling terrible. It's just a happier, long-lasting effect. And then obviously, if your abs look rocking hard, then it's even better, right? But you got to feel good too. So being very careful of what you're doing, what's working, what's not working, and finding balance. Because at the end of the day, it's not about perfection, guys. It's just about progress, getting the results, getting there slowly and surely, and then never having to go back again to the beginning. I hope this was valuable to you. I am just so appreciative of you, and I hope that you're getting all the value from these podcasts. If you want more information on our program or read some blog or recipes, go to www.thesuperstarelite.com. That's all one word, thesuperstarelite.com. And check us out. More information, if you want to contact us, you can find all that there. Until the next time, have a great rest of your day or night, and be well.